Hello, everyone. One more to go. My name is Jessica Tovar, and I am the project manager for the Long Beach Alliance for Children with Asthma. And Labaca's mission, or short, it's a long name, so we call it Labaca for short, to change the profile of childhood asthma in the most affected areas of the city of Long Beach through improved healthcare, delivery and quality, outreach, education, support systems, living arrangements, and changes in all policy levels. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the history of Labaca. We started in 1999 because a lot of community members, a lot of parents, were having to take their children to the emergency room for their asthma attacks, and they couldn't understand why. And at that same time, there was many studies coming out through USC, UCLA, and other universities on the health impacts of having, air pollution around in the community. And so it wasn't the popular topic, but that got community members talking, and they wanted to do something about it. So at the same time, there was an immunization campaign going on through the Children's Clinic, the Miller Children's Hospital, and the Long Beach Department of Health and Human Services. We're lucky enough to have our own health department. And so they had done a great job in this immunization campaign. They were getting all the kids immunized, but they were ready to take on the next challenge. So they decided to partner up with the parents and try to do something about the asthma attacks. How can we make children control their asthma? It's a chronic disease, yes, but it could be well controlled. No one needs to die. No one should be missing school or work because of it. So we created an asthma coalition that centers around community involvement. And we use the socio-ecological model of care, knowing that the children are in the center and we have to provide them support and their families. We need to help the clinics bring awareness around the community and also have policies that can help reduce the burden of asthma. So just to mention a little bit, we do provide some direct services through a lot of community outreach about general awareness of asthma. We have a community health worker program, and this is where we meet a lot of the initial people that get involved later. So we see them at a point where they're really stressed out, they don't know what to do about their asthma. We go into their home, we talk to them about the triggers that they may not realize. We talk to them about integrated pest management, how to take asthma medication, and how to just have this under better control so that then they can see other problems in the community and how they can get involved. We have asthma 101 classes for anyone that's interested. We have physician asthma education training so that all the physicians are using the latest guidelines. And we provide the medical assistant training so that their medical assistants are ready to teach the families how to take their medication and how to talk to them about the fears they have. So, Long Beach. Here's Long Beach. It's right next to the ocean. It's a beautiful place, but we have a few issues. Just a little bit about the population. We're the seventh most populated city in California, and we're very diverse, as Beatrice mentioned. So that's a little bit of our stats. And then I just wanted to show everyone that asthma has actually been rising nationwide over the last 10 years. And so nationwide, the percent of asthma prevalence is about 8%. In Long Beach, it's 14.3%. And when you take the kids that are 5 to 17-year-olds, it goes as high as 21%. So it's a clear problem in our community. And why is that? So Long Beach happens to share its base with six oil refineries and two of the nation's major ports. Those are the Port of Long Beach and Port of Los Angeles. They bring all the goods for our country, like say the sweater I'm wearing or something that you might have on, that brings 40% of all our goods that we're wearing now. So probably about half of us have something that came from those ports. And because those are large ports that are bringing a lot of our goods, we need huge freeways too to make those trips and get those things to us. So that has landed us, unfortunately, through the American Lung Association. They have studies that show we're in the highest polluted counties in the nation. So that is a contributing factor. And I'm sure many of you have heard some of the health concerns related to living near busy roadways. There's linkages with having onset of asthma, decreased lung function, heart disease, lung cancer, heart and lung effects, and even death. And there's other new emerging research going on regarding this. And we usually pair up with universities like Occidental College, USC, UCLA, and they do all the studies, break it down for us so that we can take it to the community members. So that's the conducive policies. We know that we need to make some changes. We know there is incompatible land use and we need to do something about it, but we cannot do it alone. As was mentioned, collaboration is crucial. We need allies in other organizations and also in our community members. So Labaca's policy work is extensive. We have the 710 freeway expansion that we work on in collaboration with the Coalition for Environmental Health and Justice. We work on preventing rail yards to be next to communities through the Impact Project and the Los Angeles Port Working Group. And then we have the California Endowment, building healthy communities through the Environmental Health Work Group that creates awareness about air pollution issues and what we can do about it. So it's a lot of different things. I'm going to focus on the 710 just as an example. So here is the 710. The 710 was built in 1954 as the major route to get all those goods from the Port of Long Beach to the rest of the nation. It crosses 18 miles and 15 cities. Right now the freeway is 8 lanes, but they had proposed to make it a total of 14 lanes. And this would be crossing communities that are majority people of color living right by the freeway, and they're also of lower socioeconomic status. So this is the largest proposed project in the nation right now, up to 14 lanes, like I mentioned. The draft environmental impact report alone cost $37 million, and it took 6 years to be released. This document was 10,000 pages. How can community members actually give, you know, good engagement and feedback with that technical of a report? So that coalition that I mentioned, CHASH, which is an amazing group of people that includes lawyers, of course, we need our lawyers. We broke it down for our community members. We had workshops for them. We talked about the history of the 710, the possibilities, the rights through the National Environmental Protection Act, and what they wanted to see in their community. So, because the proposed alternatives that Caltrans, or the Department of Transportation in California, offered negatively all impacted the communities, we created our own. It's called Community Alternative 7, and it includes no general purpose lane widening. Because we know if you add a lane in 5 or 10 years with the population growth, we're just going to go back to the same thing, traffic. It takes a community member right now 3 hours to get from one city to the next. So if they have to take the bus to go to an appointment, like a doctor's appointment to another city, it takes them all day. They lost the whole day there. So they really told us that we want to see public transportation investments. We want a zero emissions freight corridor so that the trucks that are carrying our goods aren't negatively polluting and impacting our communities. We want river improvements and comprehensive pedestrian and bicycle elements, because right now if you live by the 710, you don't feel safe walking by it. And then other community benefits like targeted hiring, making sure that the schools that are right by the freeway have vents and, you know, other protections like that. So that's an example of what we do in our policy work. But I wanted to talk about how they first, or how we engage community members, because they really are our strengths. We have coalition meetings where we bring up different topics related to asthma or other things like the 710. We'll bring that up. We have the community health worker program. After the children are under control, the parents are like, tell us how to get involved. So we try to link them into things going on in Long Beach even through other things going on through building healthy communities, there's education, there's just neighborhood safety, and any other issues they care about. We also bring different topics that community members want to listen or learn about. They take a little survey at the beginning of the year about what topics do they want us to bring to them, what would they like to learn about. And so some of the classes we have brought are self-esteem classes, why race and place matters, how to help children reach academic success, and even how to fill out new immigration forms for youth. So this is us in action. That's the graduation for the self-esteem class. We were talking to them about, you know, needing to advocate for more green space or just anything that they want to do, and they told us, we can't advocate yet for that until we know how to advocate for ourselves. So we really need the self-esteem type of classes so that we have that confidence, and then we can work on the bigger issues. It's cutting off. So that's what we did. We listen to them. We bring whatever they need so that they feel that empowerment. And as you can see, there's food right there. We also always try to have healthy food. We have taxi vouchers or bus tokens, anything that they need to get them their child watch, and just to make them feel appreciated because they are the strength of the community. So we have a special group called the assessment team. They're our core leaders, and so it's a group that actually has a PowerPoint presentation that they present to their neighbors through schools, churches, and even in homes. They do PTRAC testing and truck counting in hotspots. I'll talk a little bit more about what PTRAC is. And then they testify at key hearings like the 710 hearings and say, this is what we want. We want Community Alternative 7. So how are they trained? We team up with universities, like I mentioned, like USC. In this case, they're our partner. And so they teach them about the negative health impacts of goods movement and air pollution, about asthma. They get trained on how to public speak, how to tell their story. And like I said, that PTRAC. So let me... These are just some pictures of our wonderful A team in action. Right there, they're measuring the trucks and the cars, and they're measuring with the PTRAC. And the PTRAC. Hello? I don't know what goes in and out. Hello? Okay, I'll just try and speak up. Can you still hear me back there? Okay. So the PTRAC, it's this great device that you can measure ultra-fine particulate matter with. It's fine when you hear from a scientist that your area is really polluted. But when you have a machine that you could just see the impact of a truck passing right by you and you see how high the levels are, then you know it. You feel it, you're experiencing it. And that's what it gives the community members. It makes them feel like they're the expert in their community, they are the researcher, and they're seeing that that's a problem. So ultrafine particulate matter, if you look at one of your strands of your hairs, they're pretty tiny, right? But looking at ultrafines, they're actually 10 to 100 times smaller. So these are really dangerous. They can get in your bloodstream. They can get in your cells. And this is what we're finding out through the newest research coming out. So community members kind of have a call to action when they have some of these statistics to show. So this is an actual graph measuring the ultrafine particulate matter. It measures parts per cubic centimeter, which means about the size of a sugar cube. So at the highest level, for example, of this reading, we had 171,000 ultrafine particulate matter in the size of a sugar cube. So that's what we were all breathing, and we felt quite sick after our testing. But it's really powerful because then we can graph it and actually present it to leaders in the community, to council members, to other residents, and then they want to do something about it because currently ultrafine particulate matter is not regulated by any agency. So that's some of the work we do, and this is my contact information. Sorry about the technical difficulties. Thank you. So at this point, we'll take questions. Any questions that came up in regards to the presentation? No, it was all crystal clear. Yay! So we want to thank you for sticking it out. We know this is the last session of the day. So thank you for being here and listening to these presentations and hearing all the fabulous wins and ways that public health can really move a health agenda. And I think the big story is that health is a compelling argument when it comes to policy systems change and improving and transforming community, and demonstrated by these fabulous partners. So let's give a hand to them again. Thank you.